Thank you, Lord. We are rejoicing, Lord. For we are alive today, not just the life of the earthly body, Lord, but the life of Christ, the living Word that is in all of us, working effectively, shining, O Lord, so bright because of your grace, because of the salvation that you decided, O Lord, that we will be saved for thy glory. Lord, today is the day because we are all here gathered as one body of Christ. And Lord, for that reason, O Lord, we rejoice and we be glad in it, O Lord. The gladness of heart, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, may you, Lord, fill the oil of joy in our heart today, O Lord. As we are called to burn, as we are called to shine, as we are called to serve, as we are called to love, as we are called to do the works of the Father in heaven. Lord, we pray, may you soak all of us in thy presence. Yes, Lord, whatever the challenges may come, Lord, we say we come in the name of the Lord. Amen. Come what may tomorrow, Lord, we know who holds our tomorrow. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Jesus Christ, we ask for you, Lord, to walk in the midst of us. You are our shepherd. You are our teacher. You are our redeemer. You are our healer. You are our everything, Lord. We are the bride waiting eagerly, desperately for thy coming, O Lord. May you, Lord, help us to do thy will. May you help us, Lord, to fulfill thy promise. May you help us, Lord, to have the true heart of true repentance. Only then, O Lord, we can be true worshippers of God. We ask for the rain of thy Spirit, O Lord, to soak all of us today. Help us, Lord, to be free in thy presence. Help us, Lord, not to be contained by any bondage, but rather free as bond servants of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all the trials. Thank you, Lord, for all the failures. And thank you, Lord, for all the pain. Thank you, Lord, for all the sorrow. Because, O Lord, we are who we are today because of the valleys. We are who we are today because of our mistakes. And we are who we are today because of you who stood firm throughout all our lives, O Lord. We bless your holy name. We surrender our hearts, the tabernacle, our life, our sacrifice, everything at thy feet, O Lord. May you have mercy upon all of us. Forgive our trespasses, iniquities, shortcomings, mistakes, thoughts that are not according to thy will and pleasure. May you wash all of us today, Lord. We ask for thy grace to accept our sacrifice. We humble ourselves at thy feet before thy mighty hand. Touch us and revive us. And we ask for thy name, O Lord, to be glorified in the midst of us. In Jesus' name, I ask for the Spirit of the Lord to have dominion over all of us today. In Jesus' name, we surrender the sermon. In Jesus' name, we surrender the understanding of that sermon. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. We thank the Lord for today. We thank the Lord for yesterday, and we will thank the Lord for tomorrow. Amen. We just take our lives one day at a time, because that is the most wisest thing that we can do. Every day is a new day for us. I liked how Brother Henry said a few weeks ago, how can we sing a new song to the Lord? There are only a few songs. Yes, when a new man sings a song, the song can become new. When a new man speaks about the gospel can be new. And that is why we are called people who are drunk by the new covenant. The new, everything is new. Old is gone, the dead man is gone, dead woman is gone, the new man is born, the new woman is born. So whatever we do, today is the day, and the mercy of the Lord fresh and new every morning. Why? You are the testament of that mercy. Every day, if we can live a life according to the new covenant, the present established truth, that day, the Lord's mercy is new because of you. Because you told the Lord, Lord, you called me to be the new man, you called me to be the new woman, and Lord, here I am, today I can live a life worthy of that calling. And the Lord would say, my mercy is new every morning. So we sing a song, new song. We do a work, new work. Everything is new. Because the Lord is revealing manifesting, fulfilling, pruning, encouraging all at the same time in a single day. That is why the day has different watch hours. First watch, second watch, third watch. For what? The Lord shows that He deals with us in seasons, and He deals with church ages in different watch ages. He has a time. So by God's grace, we will meditate on the reason Elisha, they had such a relationship which was so pure, so innocent, and so human. Isn't it? It was so human. They are not someone who fell from heaven. People on earth who are filled by the Holy Spirit of God, how they wrestle their battles, how they overcome their battles, and how they were able to maintain such a love. Such a love. Have you ever seen in the scripture Elisha criticizing Elijah? Have you ever seen in the scripture Joshua criticizing Moses? Have you ever seen in the scripture David criticizing Saul? Have you ever seen in the scripture after Saul became Apostle Paul, Apostle Saul? Did you see him criticizing, complaining about Jesus Christ who called him? Moses did before he understood who he is. Aaron did before he understood who he is. Elijah did when he lost who he was. The Lord restored him. So the Bible clearly unfolds the mystery. A man cannot do good without God who is good. As long as God is with them, in them, he can do good. He can be good, he can think good, he can wish good, he can be good. The moment when you step 1 inch away from the word of God, God cannot be in us. Why? He is holy. So when that happens, our flesh tells us, I am in church. But it won't tell us. Why? Outside the presence of God, there is only deception left. Outside the presence of the Lord who is life, only death left. Outside the reign of God, only hatred left, because God is love. So, the reason why I mentioned Elisha, who took hold of his garments, rent into two pieces, was the most beautiful representation of self-denial, is because of one single word. He cried when he saw the master was taken, and he tore his clothes. But my brethren, he was well prepared that he knew the master would be taken. Because all the prophets from Jericho, from Bethel, they were keep on disturbing him. Hey, don't you know your master will die? Don't you know your master will die? Is it encouragement? Is it edification? Does it yield any fruit? Absolutely nothing. It is nothing but discouragement, pulling down, spoil the motivation, and distracting Elisha so that instead of turning right, Elisha will take left. Why? Elijah is going right to the left, going to Bethel, going to Jericho, then cross the Jordan. If Elisha is a bit careless, he would lose the sight of where Elijah is going. A bit, a little compromise. A minor deviation, a moment of blindness, a moment of madness can take our eyes from the author of salvation, and someone will come very similar to the look of author of salvation, but no light, no glory, no life, no love, no truth, no revelation, but look alike. Look like gold, but not gold. So this is what happened in the world today. It all happened in the past. It will happen until you come and tell everyone, I'm here. Then every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, Lord, you are the Lord. But doesn't matter. Whether you like it or not, He is the Lord. Even those who came to arrest Him, the moment He said, I am He, they fell down in front of Him. And they could not even stand up until He told them, just get up. Why? Creator reveals Himself to His creation in the grace period.
When the grace period ends, Creator has no reason to hide himself. He will come and say, I'm the judge. Or people will say, Lord, yeah, we heard about you. Oh, you are the person. Okay. I heard you are a savior, gracious, merciful Lord. You love your enemies. The Lord would say, that season is over. Now, I am with my new garment of righteous judge. I act according to my garment. I act according to my garment. Joseph stored the food when the food was available. We can eat the word of God when it is day. When the night cometh, no man can work. When the grace period ends, what do you mean repentance? Think twice. What is repentance when the grace period ends? So, by God's grace, we are learning from the deception in our mind, the delusion in our heart, which confounds, clouds our vision as we hold on to the lamp of the word, that is the vision, lamp unto our feet. We walk by faith, not by sight. So when we do this, the Lord wants us to be very careful in learning from Old Testament, learning from New Testament, because He is the same in the Old, He is the same in the New, and He is the same forever. So, why 6,000, why 10, and why 10, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 garments, 10 talents of silver, and the man who said, the prophet is asking me to do all of this, he's a simple typo, a shadow of how we think God called us, God told us, God made us. And Naaman, Gehazi, Elisha is a beautiful single point reference of what happens to the word of God throughout the church ages. Word is spoken, the Bible is here. Elisha spoken, the word was there. The servants of Naaman, they were able to pass the truth accordingly without altering it. And Naaman was able to drink the fountain of life and he received healing. But Gehazi added a flavor, twisted it, polluted it, because he wanted something from the one who was healed. False ministries, they want money, they want power, they want authority. So-called churches, they want to control the world. So what they would do, they would go and hunt the innocent people who are struggling in pain, suffering, sickness, loss, so much trials. They would go and tell them, we are from Peter's guidance. We are from Apostle Paul's teaching. We are from this and that. Quoting to Prophet Elisha, introducing them as a holy man, a group that proclaims holiness of God, and they would take advantage of innocent people for what? For earthly benefits. But Prophet Elisha is watching. Glorified Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly house, watching. And he would come with the iron rod. He would ask all of us the questions, and everyone we must answer the Son of Man, the Son of David, the only Son of God, because he will ask, then we will have to answer. How he will ask? He will ask like Elisha. Inch precise, why you did this? Where did you go? Correct? Then we would answer. Answer to whom? The one who created us. When that happens, our flesh will tremble in his presence. If we are liars, we will lie. Gehazi lied. Even in the presence of the prophet who is standing in front of him. You know why? Because flesh will manifest when the presence of God is there. Because Spirit of God is liberty. What does it mean? It is liberty. The Lord will show you how freely he can uncover you. The flesh will tremble in his presence. So, nothing but truth. Amen? Nothing but truth. Yes, I'm a liar. When I lie, I tell the Lord, yes, you are right. The truth is, I'm a liar. nothing but the truth. Presence of God. So prophets are the shadows. What will happen when someone goes near to a prophet who is filled by the Spirit of God up to the brim, and there is a territory? Amen? There is a territory. So God tells Moses, take your sandals off. If Moses tells God, no, the floor is very hard. Sharp stones, thorns. You don't know what it is to walk in the wilderness. Let me show you. I will walk with the sandals in your presence. Tell me what happened. God showed everything. He showed everything that we need to know in the scripture. My brethren, there is no prophecy outside scripture. None. There is no warning outside scripture. There is no blessing outside the scripture. And there is no techniques outside scripture. There is no ministry strategy outside scripture. It's called all sufficiency. There is no other prophecy that can be fulfilled outside this. The seven messengers, they came and gave us different specs, lenses, to see the revelation from different angles. But it was there. It was there. Already there. Past 4 weeks, I have been learning from the children. No, in the Bible study, I asked Penny a question. I gave them a simple chapter. I tell them a question, but I never ask the question so that I deceive them in the right way. Then I ask different questions. But yet, they answer so precisely. Not just that, wisely. For a child, I asked her, who created you? She said, God. But I thought you came from your mother. She said, her mother was also created by God. Then I said, who created God? And she simply said, God was not there. God was already there. What? God was already there. Who told you that? She didn't say, no one can create God. No, no. She simply said, God was already there. That is, Jesus said, before Abraham was I. She don't even know the scripture. But how come she can say that? Inch precise. So the Lord says, convert to be like children. Why? When the mind is simple, you know nothing. You receive everything. When the mind is complicated, you think you know something. You receive nothing. So, the mind of Christ can only have dominion when the body of Christ remains as the children of God. But in spirit, Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be babe in spirit. Grow up. Be an adult in spirit because you are a bride in spiritual life. In flesh, you must be a child. Because child is innocent even in flesh. Child is pure even in flesh. In our church, if the Lord comes and says, who is the purest flesh? I would say, Gemma, the granddaughter of Sister Wendy, because still young. Then, our little princess Elizabeth. Then, maybe Joshua, Hazel and Adam, because they don't even know the cunningness yet. By God's grace. But when they grow, they are exposed to environment, exposed to people, they're exposed to betrayal, anger, hatred, all the trials of flesh. So they might catch up some. Like all of us today. And the Lord wants to wash us, clean us, prune us, clothe us, so that we can be a young, beautiful bride ready for the wedding. So in flesh, we are called to convert to be like children. In spirit, we must be grown up. Because the battle is not simple. That is what Elisha is teaching all of us. For Gehazi, who got merely some garments and 2 pieces of silver, Elisha simply unfolded how this can grow. What this would do. And why he said that, we will continue from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Chapter 19, we will read from verse 19 to 21. Last Sunday, the Lord showed Elijah, don't think that you are the only servant of mine. Don't think as if you are carrying the entire world on your shoulder. Don't tell me that you are burdened beyond what you could bear, because everything is against scripture. The Bible says the Lord would never allow you to bear something that you cannot bear, because He's righteous. He knows the strength of your spiritual shoulder. He knows the strength of your spiritual hand. He knows the strength of your spiritual feet. He knows how to place on the shoulder. Abraham knows how many woods Isaac can carry. Remember this. Because Isaac must reach the summit, the top, for for him to be sacrificed. The bride must meet the Lord up in the air. He will come in the clouds. We can't say, yeah, you call me an eagle, but you put 10 tons of metal on my shoulder, how can I fly? Then we are a liar. His grace is sufficient to thee. Then we tell the Lord, something is missing in scripture. The Lord would say, in the book of Revelation, I mentioned already, whoever adds something, remove something, all the plagues for you. Do you want it? We would say, Lord, no. Sorry, I made a mistake. So forgetfulness opened the door for adding flavors in the water. But the water remains, should remain as a water. The purity of God should remain in its purest form. Only then the bride can remain as a pure bride. But we are not perfect. We are not holy. We are not good, all without Him. We are perfect in Him. We are holy in Him. And we will be good in Him. That is our hope of eternal glory. Never compromise the hope. There is a thin line between being humble and being completely unfaithful. You are not special, it's being humble. I can never be special, it is self-loathing. You are not holy, it's a reality. I can never be holy, it's unbelief. You are not perfect, it's humbleness. I will never be perfect, is unfaithfulness. You are not perfect, it's the truth. I am very perfect, is pride and haughtiness. You see the balance? It's everywhere, but there's a thin line, and that thin line is the revelation. Not knowledge, not wisdom, not doctrine, not what you wrote in your diaries, not what you have in your mind. The thin line is that narrow path which is lightened by the Spirit of God that is in you, not in someone's life. I can never say I am able to experience God for someone's testimony, someone's praise, someone's healing. Christ is personal. Amen? If I don't know Christ deep within, how can I go and tell the Lord, marry me? He would never assemble the body of Christ into one for the sake of being people in a group. No. The last Adam looks at every one of his bride and he spiritually put them into one single bride. So, where Elijah stands is a ground that none of us can imagine. I have observed this dangerous, poisonous pattern of people comparing themselves with Moses, with Elijah, with Elisha, with Apostle Paul, saying that, oh, he went through this, I can go through this. He did this mistake, I can do this mistake. My brethren, the names that are written in the scripture represent the entire multitude of God's generation carried by one man. You don't carry that burden. You are part of the word. Know thyself. Elijah can be mocked by saying that, oh, you are a prophet running from a woman. Come on, Elijah, be like me. Look at me, I'm very strong. I can do all these courageous attempts of being a child of God. What Elijah was facing is way, way higher than what he faced. He was facing the entire wickedness of the whole world, being the prophet of the generation. That spirit of Jezebel was not the woman, the neighbor, who is making noise in your house, who says, oh, this woman can't make me sleep. No, that's not spirit of Jezebel. She controlled the whole world by her evil wickedness. And she went against Elijah. And the Lord taught a lesson. If you are with me, she is nothing. But if you are not with me, she can kill you. Indeed. Of course. So, the level of faith, the measure of faith, the size of battle, the scale of the adversity they faced, don't compare yourself on par with them. Take one single piece from the tree and eat it. Lord, I'm encouraged by how you guided your servants. I learned from them. Blessed, they bless. Because the Bible says, Hebrews 7:7, lesser, blessed by greater. Amen? What does it mean? When the Lord poured the anointing, it flows from top to bottom. What is gravity of the earth? It represents God's grace. Pulls down. It can't fly. That is out the territory of earth. That is when Christ comes and takes the bride. We fly and meet him up in the air. But as long as there is grace, it pulls down. The one who climbed the mountain spiritually, from that one, the anointing oil will flow. Elisha knows. Elisha knows. If Elisha loves Elijah truly, what he should do? Take his power. That is nothing for Elisha. Take his authority. That is nothing for Elisha. Continue the service of God with the same Spirit of God. It's the only way God's name can be glorified in the city of Judah, Jerusalem, Israel, wherever they are walking. So, when that happens, the Lord taught a lesson to every servant of God. Moses had problems because of people. Elijah had problems because of the wife of the king. Every servant of God, John the Baptist, had problems because of, again, the wife of the ruler, Herodias. Joseph had a problem, again, because of the wife of Potiphar. And the bride will have problem because of the great whore Babylon, the wife of wickedness. Evil, all principalities. Pattern is always the same. So what the Lord wants us to learn from the hiding of Elijah is, the Lord wanted Elijah to wrap himself with mantle, but he hid himself with cave. Because that cave is not the safe shelter. That cave is not a safe haven. The Lord taught him, my mantle, my spirit, my clothing is your safe haven. But when he did that, when the still small voice told Elijah, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm not in the fire, I'm not in the whirlwind, don't try to glorify me in all this grand scene. I'm just in you, the little flame that tells you, you are mine, I created you, I love you. Hear that voice, then the Holy Ghost will wrap you around. If you don't hear that, look at my Lord, look at the whirlwind, Brother Aaron, you see? The power of this hurricane is much, much more powerful than something that is in the other land. God is not there. Even when Elijah was taken from the chariot of fire, God was not in the chariot. He was not in the whirlwind. He was not in the fire. He was in what Elijah passed to Elisha. The inheritance. He was in there. The goodness that Elijah gave to Elisha. That mantle represents what the servants of God, generations after generations, pass on to other generations. Inheritance. That is why it's called the firstborn. The firstborn. So now, the Lord taught a lesson to Elijah. You are not alone. Don't think of yourself highly. Indeed, Elijah was the prophet that we all look up to in that generation. We all know who met Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. The spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah was beautifully represented to all of us to teach us how much the Lord honors them. Remember? How much God honors them. Honors the servants. He was there in the transfiguration. For all of us to learn. What happened is for all of us to edify and encourage, not to justify and to keep doing what we're doing. So, when Elisha cried and tore his clothes rent into two, it's because of the love that he had for the master and the love that he had for God and the love that he had for the service of God. All three at once, because he rent his clothes. There are different types of people who rent clothes. Different types of events in the scripture. The reason why one rent clothes has beautiful aspect categories. We will focus on this today by God's grace. Then we will learn from why it happened. So now, this Elisha, let's see where he met Elijah first time. 19, verse 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. I will write here. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. How many yoke of oxen? 12. The moment you hear the word 12, you should start from Genesis. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples of Christ, 12 apostles, 12 apostolic foundations. Amen. 12, 12, 12. and 12 foundations that we see in the temple, as the Lord called all of us in the book of Revelation. Those foundations, those pillars, are built upon the foundation, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, Prophet Elisha, not a prophet yet, he is doing some work, like what he was doing. Very similar to the disciples of Christ who are catching fish and knitting some, you know, knitting some nets. And Jesus comes and tells them, come and follow me. He didn't tell them, no, I am this and this, I am from this and this family, you know, there are so many prophecies about me, you know, you have to believe me, I am Jesus, I beg you, please believe me. He did say nothing. He said, come and follow me, the one who created you, calling you, come and follow me. They left everything at once, they followed him. It was a command, not a request. He commanded the sheep, come and follow me. He didn't say, do you want to come and follow me? If he said that, those disciples would have reacted, who are you? Because the question invites the answer. Amen? The revelation brings forth the truth. The Lord did not give them a choice. He told them, come and follow me. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed them who you are. He said, can you watch and pray for me? He didn't say, I am telling you, watch and pray. He said, can you watch and pray for me? It becomes a request. Why? He is a servant, but yet a leader. He showed us what is servant leadership. Amen? And what is the danger of free will, permissive will, and the perfect will of God. So now, Elijah is walking. God told Elijah, I want you to anoint the two kings. Remember, last Sunday we said, he wanted him to anoint two kings. Not just that. He told him, anoint one more, a prophet. One king, not enough. Anoint one more prophet, Elisha, in thy room. Amen? What is room? This is my water bottle. I think I have some room left for to fill some water. What is room? Space. Some void. Space. And the glory of the Lord needs to fill every inch of the earth. Until it is done, it is not done. So what he does, he plant the trees of righteousness. He plant the lighthouses. He plant the candlesticks, lampstands, wherever he want. So that that land won't be destroyed. So, Elisha called by God, and he gave a task to Elijah. And what happens, verse 9, so he departed thence. After that he went, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who showed the way, the Lord showed the way, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. Where? Not in 11th, not in 12th, not in 10th. 12th, which means it shows he's prepared. The timing is inch perfect for Elijah to throw the mantle on Elisha. So, everything worked together for good for those who love God, called according to purpose. Amen? Amen? The delays, mistakes, recovery, what the Lord's way of dealing things, it all will be profitable if we are still subject to His will. And Elisha was on the 12th. And Elijah passed by him. Like how Jesus passed by. He saw someone who needs his healing. He touched them and healed them. That is healing from the healer to the one who was sick. But this is different. This is calling from the anointed prophet to the one who is going to continue the work of God. So what Elijah did, he threw the mantle. So two events. One, Elijah threw the mantle when he was walking. And mantle fell when he was flying. Do you hear me? When the chariot took Elijah, the mantle fell. Elisha had to go and find the mantle, bend his knee, take the mantle. Do you think that God would come and force you to eat the blessing? He would never do that. He would show you where is the blessing. He would show you where is the way. He would show you where he stands. He would tell us, come, show me you can walk. He told Abraham, go on a 2 days journey. Meet me at the top of the mountain. He told Prophet Jonah, go on a 3 days journey. Go to the city of Nineveh. He told everyone, Prophet Ezekiel, a watchman, go to the plain. I will meet you there. Imagine Brother Henry comes to my home, take a taxi, comes to my home. He tells me, Brother Prasi, you come to my home, I'll meet you there. You're already here. What? You're already here. Let's talk. The Lord would test whether you are able to move your flesh. Whether you are able to keep the walk against your flesh. Not instantly in a season. 2 days, 3 days, 40 years, 40 days, he decides. That testing, my brethren, no one can escape. No one can escape. So now, when this happened, mantle was thrown, and Elisha, when that mantle touched him, he left the oxen. So he was doing something, he left. And ran after Elijah, did not walk. Abraham was running here and there when the Lord met him under the terebinth trees. Abraham could say, I'm 70 plus, I'm old. Just wait for 2 hours. I will walk slowly to prepare the food. Come. You want lunch? I'll give you dinner. Abraham ran. He showed the Lord, I will do my best for you. And the Lord said, I'll make you younger. Don't worry. So, he ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. So Elisha tells Elijah, let me say bye to my parents. Did Elijah tell Elisha, when he threw the mantle, that you should do this and this? He simply cast the mantle upon him and he continued walking. And Elisha says, I need to let go everything that makes me feel I belong to this earth. I'll go and say bye one last time. The same event happened when people came to Jesus. They told him, my father is about to die. I'll go and say farewell to him. Someone died in my family. I'll go and bury him. The Lord says, let the dead bury the dead. It is not physical. The Lord is telling spiritually. The same thing happened to Jesus Christ when people approached him. But Elijah, the response of Elijah was not the same as Jesus Christ. You see the response. Elijah says, go back again, for what I have done to thee. Why? Elijah is also going through his own battle. Amen? That doesn't mean Elijah wants Elisha to be destroyed. Elijah is a man in flesh who is going through battle of standing against the spiritual wickedness of the entire earth, my brethren. Jezebel is not one single woman. My brethren, at that point of time, God, great Almighty, was working in person with Elijah, which means all the prince of the land, all the demonic spirits, all the flesh, all the enemies, their eyes would set upon Elijah. Imagine the pressure, the burden that he is going through alone. Moses had the privilege of having Aaron together. Amen? But Elijah, no. One at a time. Why? Two prophets are not able to share the same level of anointing work at the same time, because the Lord wants all of us to understand one God, one Spirit, one Almighty, all things are possible. Togetherness to show the love of God, testimony of God, unity of the Spirit. But when the Lord dealt with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, you could see there is a peak and there is a winding down. Peak, winding down. Then seven messengers, one by one, but two witnesses together. Do you see? Sometimes they are together, like Peter and John, like two witnesses. Sometimes they came one by one. Why? Depends on what the Lord is doing, you would see the number change. If it is speaking the word, one. Correct? If it is doing the work, two. At least two. But speak the word, one. How many watchmen in the book of Ezekiel? One. Not watchmen, watchman. Because the Lord is speaking. One. How many Abraham? One. How many Apostle Paul? One. So the way the Lord deals with us, he will resemble that there is only one Savior, and he will want us to know you can't do it alone. You need two. So now, when the scripture says, Elijah told him, go back again. It's a command, right? Elijah tells Elisha, run away from me. Don't you dare to follow me. God told me to anoint you. I throw the mantle. My job, your job, done. I know nothing. Just forget about me. A prophet will not lie. My brethren, remember this. He may say something wrong in his flesh, but he won't lie. So Elijah is representing the state that he is in. But he's not lying. He just tells what is in his heart. You should love each other in deed and in truth. A, B, A, nay, B, nay. Anything more than this, it's not wrong. It's evil. Don't try to sugarcoat it. It is evil. A-D-A-N-A-B-N-A, there is no N-A-N-A. There is evil. So Elijah says what he feels. Unaltered. Absolutely rude and straightforward, as people would say now. But it is called truth. That is who he is. Love me, hate me, this is who I am. So, Elisha, what did he say? Oh, master, I follow your command. Thank you. I thought I had to follow you. I'll just go and be with my parents. I'll just go and enjoy with my oxen, you know, and yoke, and I'll celebrate the feast. No. Elisha knows. He has his own free will to exercise. He is the seed of God, child of God, and there is the Spirit of God that is leading in him. You could see the leading of Spirit in two different folds. One, Elijah cast mantle. Two, Elisha step up. What he did, the command that was given to him was, go back again. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew him, boiled their flesh with the instruments of oxen and gave unto the people. He served the people, fed them with what he was doing even before he left. He served people, not himself. True servanthood exists when the seed of God is revealed. So he served them, fed them, then he arose. After he did everything, provided the needs of his very own house. Remember, we read this verse in book of Timothy. The one who has not provided his house, especially his people, very own people, he is worse than infidel. The Lord did not even say, you have lack of faith. He said, worse than infidel. So Elisha provided the needs of the family. He gave everything. Then what he did? He arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. This is 1 Kings 19. From here, 2 Kings chapter 2, there is a relationship built, bond built, love built, servanthood built between these two. The agape love of God is run stronger between them. After here, from here until 2 Kings 2, you won't see the domination of Elisha ever. Why? Prophet Elijah serving God. Elisha learning, serving, obeying, ministering in humbleness, in servanthood. Correct? Hiding behind Elijah. Amen? Hiding behind Elijah. And Elijah hiding behind the wrap of the mantle. And Elisha hiding behind Elijah. So now, this is where we come back to 2 Kings 2 again. Brother Clement, please read this for us from where we left. You can read from verse 11 all the way to verse 18, brother. Verse 11 to verse 18.
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophet who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came and meet him, and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. Amen. And he said, you shall not send anyone. But they urged him till he was ashamed. He said, send them. Therefore, they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go?
Amen. Did I not say to you, go not? Then why he told them, sent. Look at the sequence. God tells Elijah first that I will take you. Amen? Amen? My brethren, always remember the flow of anointing. Amen. God would never compromise. God tells Elijah, I'm taking you. That information, of course, known to Elisha, why they are together in spirit. But these prophets of Bethel and Jericho, how come they know? Who told them? Tell me who told them. Think. Just because what about to happen is known to some, that doesn't mean the Lord's name is glorified there. Because there are voices, there are hearing, there are whispers, there are prediction, there are understanding, there are observation, there are perception. There are so many things working against us. So now these prophets of Bethel and prophets of Jericho, they tell Elisha, don't you know your master will die? For what? What is the fruit in you? What is the benefit of informing that my master is about to die? What Elisha says? Silent. What he said? Be silent. What Joshua said? Oh, all flesh. Shh, be silent. Why? Do not invite the wrath of God upon yourself. It's not we are going to stop the work of God. No one can even delay an inch to stop the work of God. It's a warning to all of us that we understand what the Lord is going to do, and we understand what is the purpose of the Lord, and we understand what is the fruit of the work of the Lord, then we decide what we have to do. Now Elisha says, silent, I'm trying to save your life. Then after all done, Elisha cried, oh chariot of Israel, he cried for his master, and the mantle fell, he rent his clothes, and he took. Amen? So taking is denying himself in love. Imagine if Elisha says, when Elijah is taken on chariot, yoo-hoo, this guy is gone. Nothing but me. I'm the only one left. Yes, I can control Israel. I can go and challenge Ahab. I can go and do this and that. But the Lord removed them before. The Lord would do everything. Elisha, he had only two things in his heart. Love of God and the love of God that he had for his master. Love. Then the desire to serve God and to God's people. You see, both are same. Love of God and the same love of God for Elijah. Service to God and the same service to God to God's children. Same. So Elisha had to crucify himself, rent his clothes into two. Then he tells the Lord spiritually, now I will touch the mantle. Before that, if he touched the mantle, he is dead. All the false ministries, false prophets, false doctrines, they touch the service of God, even though there was no mantle. They touch the service of God, even though there was no renting clothes. These two are important. Repentance and receiving the anointing. So, now Elisha tells the prophet again. Why? They were not content. Maybe the eagle which took my master might have dropped somewhere in the mountain. Like how the eagle hunt for sheep. Sometimes the sheep is very heavy. The eagle just drop off. And the sheep fell and die on some mountain. Didn't become a food, but became nothing because it died anyway. And this prophet says, somewhere the Lord might have landed Elijah. There is no transit between the earth to heaven. Straight flight. Flight. But people, they didn't know why. They were not still led by the Spirit of God. And Elisha tells them, don't. They said, they urged him until he was ashamed. Ashamed of what? Himself, ashamed of themselves. Whenever people of Israel, they forced Moses, what he would do? Do. He was ashamed of themselves. Yet, God showed all this faithfulness, grace and mercy. Yet you do this. And he led them too. So Elisha said, you want to send irrespective of my warning? Send. You want to run irrespective of my warning? Run. You want to jump? Although I told you don't jump, jump. You want to help? I told you don't help, help. Then they go and do all the work, all the weariness. They spend time and effort to search for Elijah. And they come back. So many people came. Elijah is not there. I told you. I told you, go not. Amen? Thou knowest not. Go not. They didn't listen. So, from verse 19 to verse 25, brother, please. 19 to 25. God bless you.
Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is bad, and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of water and cast in the salt there. And said, "Thus said the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no death or barrenness."
Amen.
So the water remained healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke.
Amen.
Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please stand. We have to complete the series of verses. But before that, look at verse 24. Remember this. We'll come back here later. And he turned back. He looked on them. So, the truth is, Elisha's eyes were not set on them. He was going on his way. And these young people, they came and called him, "Hey, come and fight with us. Look at our strength. 42 people. Come. Come and fight with us." So, Elisha turned back because they called him. They forced him. They urged him, they tortured him, and he was wroth. So Elijah burned, Elisha cursed. We can say, God told us to love our enemies, maybe they are not the servants of God. We have to be very careful. What we read is not physical things. Amen? Never. Old Testament is the deepest spiritual representation we could think if we are in the spirit. So Elisha turned back and he tells them, curse them, because he could have blessed them, but they transformed the blessing into curse. They could have done something, said something in a way that the Lion of Judah can come and comfort them, but they did something, said something in a way for the beast, raven, no, roaming like a ravening, no, the lion, to devour the prey that came. Not one, two female came and killed 42. You said strong 42? Just two beasts sufficient to kill all of you. They were done. That represents beast devouring 42 who spoke against servant of God behind the back. There's a big difference if the Bible say Elisha looked up. No, Elisha turned back. Do not speak evil behind the back, because that is a work of the devil. Can't even say work of the flesh. It's work of the devil. Devil goes behind the back of Adam and speak to Eve. "Hey, how are you? You look so beautiful." Adam was not there. If that serpent has the audacity to speak in front of Adam to Eve, it can't be the serpent. It has to be the servant of Adam. And now when God says, be bold and be courageous, he tells us, only those who worship him in truth, who repented truly, they can do that. Not everyone can be brave. Not everyone can be bold. Not everyone can be courageous in the sight of God. It needs truth. It needs transparency. It needs that repentance that changes you deep within. So now, let's read few incidents of renting clothes. So, Brother Clement, will please read Genesis 37-34. Let's go on a series of few verses. As you read, I will keep writing the verses. You read for me so that I can write. Genesis 37:34.
Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days.
Amen. Please read Joshua 7:6.
Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads.
So in Genesis, Jacob, he tore his clothes when he heard some bad news, correct? And in Joshua, Joshua tore his clothes and put dust on his head when he heard that something happened to the ark of the Lord. Amen? So one showed his pain and crying out loud for the son who was killed, the news that he heard. And one, he fell to the ground and tore his clothes when he understand that the ark that he was carrying, something is happening. Are you please read 1 Samuel 4, 12. First, please. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 12.
1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 12. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head.
Okay, so now let's read the verse when David rent his clothes, when he heard Absalom killed his sons. Yes, 2 Samuel 13. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 31. Yes, 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 31. So the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the ground, and all his servants stood by with their clothes torn.
Amen. So now, before we read one good example in the book of Acts, I want you to recall, now you read different types of renting clothes did by the servants of God, but on different occasions. Amen? Death of children, losing a battle, and crying out in agony and pain for the reason behind the clothes being rent. Correct? Book of Acts chapter 14, verse 11 to 15, brother. Book of Acts. Chapter 14, verse 11 to 15. You see how beautiful it is, how deep it is. Please read. Chapter 14, verse 11 to 15.
Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermas, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garland to the gates, intending to sacrifice to the multitudes. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with same nature as you."
Amen.
"And preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who Amen. Made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them."
Amen. Amen. Please be seated, brother. Now here, it's very different. Two servants of God went to serve the Lord according to His will and pleasure. I told you, for all of us, garment is the righteous deeds of our life for God. Amen? So when Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they are observing the reaction from people, they understood that people misunderstood that they are from this and this, and they gave a name to them. They started idolizing them. Amen? The moment they saw that, they know that whatever the work they did, the righteous deeds of garment, is not received in the right frame of mind, in the right spirit of God. So they tore their clothes to tell the people, "We served you, you misunderstood the service, it is not." They tore their clothes and told the people, "We don't want your recognition, your appreciation, your honor, your worship. We are normal people, we decrease ourselves, we increase Him, praise Him, worship Him and fear Him." It is completely different than all the Old Testament that you read. "Father, here's the news. My son killed all my sons." Oh, he was so sad, tore his clothes. Joshua heard the news. Something happened to the Ark of the Lord. He tore his clothes. He put dust on his head to show, "I'm a servant of God. Let this shame be upon me." Jacob tore his clothes when he heard something happened to his son. He tore his clothes because he loved him. So, in all of this, there is only one thing that is common. Love. And there is something that happened to that love. Something pierced through, right? Through their intents and thoughts, joints and arrows. Something pierced through for them, could not take it, and they tore the clothes. Because the love overpowered them. But now I'll show you the worst example of renting clothes. Why? There are two different services. One, you serve God for God, for the children of God. Two, you serve God for you and for you alone. Let's turn to the Bible, book of Mark, chapter 14. Book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 60, verse 61, 60. Please, brother, book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 60 to 65, please.
And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing.
Nothing.
And again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. But you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, "Prophesy!" And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands.
So please stand, brother. Now, here also, these people are addressed as chief priests, high priests. If Aaron is alive, they are gone. What you would say? "For this, I endured all of this in the wilderness for to see this madness, to see this wickedness, to speak to a creator like this." Thank God Aaron was taken on the mountain. Because the Lord did not let him to be angry. He's the high priest. Remember? What will happen if the high priest truly gets angry? Judgment. So now, Jesus Christ is being questioned, ridiculed, persecuted, insulted by whom? Nothing but priest. Not by enemies, not by soldiers. Priest insulting the high priest. And what they did? They wanted to show their fervent service. They tore their clothes. Oh, blasphemy. And the truth is standing in front of them. Could not see. Why? Your wrath. So much about yourself. Exalting your power and title. And they could not see Jesus. And what they did, brother? They did. They tore their clothes. Just read that verse before we read the next two. Please.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of the witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death.
Amen. Please turn to 1 Samuel 15:27. I want us to read some verses before we meditate. 1 Samuel 15:27. Please read, brother.
And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robes and it tore.
Yes, please continue.
So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours. Who is better than you?"
Who is better than you? So now, 27, same as Elisha, who was walking to do something, some young people came and challenged him. So Elisha had to turn back and he had to curse them. So Samuel, he was on his way. He finished talking to him. He loved King Saul. He truly loved him. He warned him as much as he could. Even he was so sad, God had to revive him after Saul lost what the Lord promised to him. He dropped it. Now, he says, Samuel said unto him, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day." The Lord was expecting you to rent your clothes. And you rent my clothes? You know, people think self-denial is helping someone to rent their clothes. That is not self-denial. That is self-harming and harming others. Because here, Samuel's clothes, prophetical clothes, the mantle that was upon Samuel was rent by King Saul because of emotions. King Saul was so emotional. But one mistake that he made was he was very close to Samuel. Never get yourself too familiar with the Lord Almighty. Never. Reverence and honor must be there. Imagine if King Saul is 10 feet away from Samuel. He wants to tear his clothes, but he's 10 feet away. So he's walking to go and tear his clothes, but by the time, there is time for him to reflect. Correct? What am I doing? Where am I going? Oh, I'm going to spoil the Clement's shirt. I have some distance in between. That distance is your grace for you to think, realize, come back to yourself. But what if you're very close and without even thinking, touch the garment and tear it? The Lord said, King Saul, surprise, I'm dividing the entire kingdom. What? Because you are a king. King makes a mistake, kingdom divided. King comes and do the right, kingdom united. Same? Because he is righteous, he has to maintain the pattern. He is the greatest mathematician ever. Now, please read, brother. Leviticus 21:10-12. If we take the word of God, piece by piece, we can easily justify to fit into our mind. But if we take the word of God as one single thread that pulls my entire word of God, then you won't make mistake. Context is very important. Context. Because Elisha renting clothes was seen as a good thing. No? Was seen as denial. But do you know there is a command? Priests should never rend their clothes. Leviticus 21:10-12. Please read, brother.
He who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor tear his clothes. Nor shall he go near any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord.
Amen. Why? The anointing oil is upon him. Do not rend your clothes, because your clothes, not yours. Moses prepared the clothes, and I told Moses to put on the clothes upon you to cover you, the same way I covered Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with the coats of skins, a tie. Now don't rend your clothes because the clothes doesn't belong to you. Correct? Do not harm your flesh because the flesh doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Self-harming, depression, anger, frustration. You have no right. The Lord says, don't hurt my creation. You would say, Lord, my life, your life, he is the creator. Self-harming is a spiritual rebellion to the creator to hurt him. You know why? The Lord hurts. The Lord feels the hurt when his creation hurt itself. Because that is the worst thing for him to see. There's a difference between Brother Clement hurt me with a knife and I take a knife and cut my hand. Which one would give the too much pain to the creator? Self-loathing. Self-loathing, correct? Now, when the Lord revealed Elijah, you are self-loathing yourself, come back to senses, I have 7,000 standing for me, be encouraged. Amen? Be encouraged. So now, as you read, priests should not rend the clothes. There is a different context. Do not compromise the service to God. Do not break the word of God into pieces as you feel comfortable. Do not justify understanding to fit yourself, but rather keep it as it is. Amen? Keep it as it is. The truth, nothing but truth. So the priest is not supposed to tear down the scripture, the word of God in him. But Elisha can tear down the flesh for him to take the mantle. That is physical way of denying himself. Flesh. Spirit. Now, we have seen few examples of good way of renting clothes and bad way of renting clothes. Saul, rent the clothes. Chief priest, again Jesus, rent the clothes, but that is seen as shame. Mistakes. But Elisha rent the clothes, beautiful. Joshua rent the clothes, beautiful. So now, let's, please brother, please sit, thank you. Be seated. Now, if a mighty prophet of God, Elijah, could feel that, Lord, take my life, what kind of pain that he might have gone through? Think spiritually, because the Lord has done wonderful, mighty, beautiful things in his life. But yet Elijah could not believe God can deliver me from this little woman. He could not think. because she became the woman Goliath, mighty, so big spiritually for him. And he thought, she's going to kill me. I'm done. My life is done. And he said, Lord, take my life. She is running after me. My goodness and mercy running after you. You can see that. And the wickedness and evil thing running after you. You can see that. So now the Lord taught a lesson to Elijah. And he showed him, you won't even die. I will take you. I will show you who I am. He took him. Took him in the chariot. Now, that is the reason how Elisha was following him, how he spoke to the prophet, and how he carried his life, and how he served him. By God's grace, we will cover how he died later, because there is Jehoiada, another priest, whom is waiting to teach us by the work of God in his life. After that, we will complete the death of Elisha, like the death of Aaron. So now, I want us to focus on one thing, which is renting clothes of anger, pain, agony, frustration, unfaithfulness, unbelief. Renting clothes in love, in sincerity, in truth, you know, and uncontrollable agape love of God. Two things, two different service. Amen? Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 6 verse 1 to 10, please. Chapter 6 verse 1 to 10.
Let us, as many bond servants as are under the yoke, count their own master worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with good godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gains. From such, withdraw yourself. Amen. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction. A perdition.
Perdition.
For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
All kinds.
For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Many sorrows. Please, brother, be seated. This is the title of today's sermon. Erred from the faith, step one. Pierced themselves with many sorrows, step two. Not pierced by someone's sorrows, other sorrows, themselves. So I told you last Sunday, beautiful explanation of denying thyself. This Sunday, spiritual understanding of never, ever harm thyself, hurt thyself, worry thyself. Because piercing themselves is not denying yourself. Think deeply. Piercing themselves is not denying yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, in a sequence, money is the root of all evil. So I told you, it's not a dollar note, it's what you like, what you love, what you keep, what you want to be the treasure of your life. It's not always the dollar money. Sometimes, for people, us, our health, our reputation, our desires can become the money which can open the doors of all evil. Then later, what will happen? is so beautifully warned in Timothy, saying, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows," not one. Many, not one. It works multifold. Erred from faith, pierced themselves with many sorrows. Why? How it happens? Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried. Blood was sweating in the sweat. Can he say, "My Lord pierced himself with many sorrows"? No. One godly burden, salvation. One godly burden, death on Calvary. One godly burden, to bear the shame for you. And one divine joy, to save you. One single sword, pierced through the heart. Double-edged sword. We are only called to be pierced by only one thing. Double-edged sword. Not with so many arrows, which are called sorrows. And the devil and the flesh would tell you, the Lord has given you long-suffering. It's a bondage, not long-suffering. The long-suffering of the Lord would never make his child to compromise his word. The long-suffering of the Lord would never make his child to take one step away from Scripture. Why? Long-suffering is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit worketh not against the Spirit. So, 1 Timothy beautifully says one by one, and the most beautiful verse, how it starts, is verse 3. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to hold some word," context. Are you the words of God? Because I heard that you are part of the word. So you are the words of God. The words of God refined, purified like silver. Amen. The Lord says, don't take one verse and teach and justify your life, your very own life. Take the whole sum. Amen. Whole piece of bread of life and see what the Lord is teaching. Context. The enemy stands in the gap of that single piece of verse to the context. And he will make sure he hides your vision. Don't look at the context. Because the moment you see the context, you will kick the enemy down. But rather, he would make you to focus on the word of God, so-called word of God, without life. So, without wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing. The word nothing keep on coming out of Apostle Paul. Why? He can't stop speaking the truth. Amen. Nothing but the truth. Which means, no truth, nothing. Amen. Nothing, truth, nothing but the truth. No truth, nothing. Prophecy faileth. I know knowledge and doctrine, nothing with the love of God. And we say, I have love of God. But the Lord would say, that is not my love. Amen. You see, it is not so difficult, Lord. It is not difficult, it is simple. Without Spirit of God, we would never be able to follow Scripture. Ask for the anointing. That is what Elisha did. I don't want anything. Give me the anointing. That's it. Amen. What is double the anointing? Not jealous. I sent scriptures in the church group. I don't know how many of you truly meditated. I sent it in the church group. The infants sent it to the church group. Double represents inheritance. From Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the books in the Old Testament. It's a type of how the Lord restores everything that he lost for him. Correct? He restores everything that he lost for him. He would never make you to feel, Lord, I gave you so much, you just give me a little much. He is called the King of Kings. He is the richest of all. So, that double, you see, for your shame you will have double, for inheritance you will have double, and I will also deal with you in double, I will also handle everything in double. The Lord is teaching us what does it mean to double. And Elisha is simply speaking, you know, the desire. I am willing to carry what you carried, which I saw. Now, Elisha has seen how much Elijah went through. Amen? Elisha met Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And 2 Kings 2 is where the Lord took Elijah. In between, Elisha has seen what Elijah went through. But yet, Elisha says, greater is he who is in me. I can do greater things. Which means, greater things comes with greater troubles. greater responsibilities comes with greater challenges, but it is okay. Greater is He who is in me than who is in the world. Jezebel, come what may, ask her to come with all her armies. I will stand in the name of the Lord. So Elijah says, I'm not alone. The Lord is in me. The spirit He gave which is in me, and the spirit of God that bears witness with my spirit is in me. Give me thy spirit double. So we are never alone. Do you feel that? You can never be alone. How can you be alone? Romans says, the spirit beareth witness with your spirit. If I count correctly, the Lord gave me a spirit that belongs to Him. God is spirit. There is no other spirit. But He told me to take ownership. I own my spirit. I need to live a life according to His life. But the Lord says, you can yield to my spirit if you fail. I say, Lord, yes, I fail in my flesh. I deny myself. I yield. You take dominion over me. The Spirit of God bear witness with my spirit too. Why too? Because any time I can profane and you take His hands off. Why? God is light. In Him there is no darkness. God is holy. In Him there is no evil. So now let's turn our scriptures to Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 11. Please read, brother. I need to write as you read. 61 verse 1 to 11. Thank you.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant.
Amen.
Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people.
Amen.
All who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Please be seated. Now, I want us to break Isaiah 61 into two different sections. Because 61 is a very famous chapter. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon me, called me to heal the brokenhearted. Very encouraging. It's not that simple. Please look at the two sections of Isaiah 61. Action, provision. For instance, this place is a provision. It is there for those who are willing to come and pray and have their own personal meditation. It's called provision. The place is not going to anywhere because it has no life. Correct? It's a place sanctified, consecrated for God, by God's children, for people to use it. Provision. Joseph stored the food. The food is not people. The food is for people. Provision. He distributed. Amen? So what is the provision? We provide liberty, because Spirit of God is liberty. If you carry His Spirit, you provide liberty, freedom, deliverance to those who need. Those who are in captivity. Amen? Oil of joy is nothing but the Spirit of God. My joy of the Lord is my strength. We can't simply gather and laugh for 30 minutes and we say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the laughing exercise. We are all happy today. Oil of the joy, the Spirit of God, is the only thing that can comfort the mourning. Amen?
Amen.
Because we are walking dead. Nothing but mourning people, walking dead. Maybe we'll be celebrating, but the Lord says, why are you mourning? You are dead. So, Comforter is here to comfort us to go through tribulation, pain, suffering, everything, because He knows we will cry. So, that oil of joy is very important for us to keep the lamp to shine brighter. Wise virgins, we remember. And God told Aaron, tell the people to beat the oil, olive oil, pressed oil, and bring it for the lamp to burn continually before me. Amen? Old Testament, New Testament. Unwavering truth. Now, garment of praise is also a provision. Because you can't make it by yourself. The Lord needs to clothe you. For what? Garment of praise is for spirit of heaviness. It is called spirit of heaviness. We have to clearly understand there is only one spirit, that is life. God is spirit. Then what do you mean by spirit of wickedness? What do you mean by spiritual high places? Those are terms for us to understand. There are beasts running in this world, posing themselves as lions, but not lions. Posing themselves as life, but not life, not a true life. Posing themselves as love, but not true love. There is only one spirit. Anything that can be destroyed is not a spirit. God is spirit. Spirit is the ultimate representation of something that is not, that was not created. It was there. He is, He was, He will forever be. Amen? But spirit of wickedness, something that is clinging on our shoulder, like the plague of leprosy on the skin. Have you seen in Singapore, in all the countries, there are big trees on the side of the road? I'm sure from now on you will see what I say. You will see there is a small plant cover the entire tree. As if the tree is beautifully grown by a green jacket. But that plant was not part of the tree. Hello? Who told you to rent in my house? That plant will see the tree is not moving and simply cover the tree and take all the nutrition from the tree like a parasite. Correct? A parasite. Jesus told the disciples, get thee behind from me, Satan. So, a parasite. Job got the discussion in his table, and the adversary came with a hitch ride. Hitch ride, parasite, a tree of righteousness covered by a python, a green color plant that can pull the tree down later if we are careless. So this spirit of wickedness, like how we say spirit of Jezebel, this and that, it's a representation of things that are working against God. Amen? All the demonic things. But there is one thing that we always fool ourselves and fool others. We put the blame on the devil, or we put the blame on God, we always wash our hands. Either I'm a victim or I'm a criminal. Hello? God created you in image, in His likeness, with soul, spirit, body. And He said, my spirit beareth witness with your spirit. What does it mean? You please take responsibility of your spirit because you are the owner of your spirit. Amen? You own it. You are the master. Until you submit, He can never be your master. So what is baptism? Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. When He said that, your spirit, shh, and the Lord says, I will wash you. I will take you as mine. Use my name and live a life. A beginning, a type. So now, these provisions are not the same as these actions. Now come to four actions and four provisions. I write the word four. The Lord says, as servants of God, children of God, we are called to bind up the brokenhearted. Amen? What is bind up? Heal, cover, like Elijah wrapped himself with a mantle. Can we really pray for healing of someone if we are not in spirit? No. If we are not in the spirit of God, can we pray for the healing of someone? No. Healing has to come from the divine healer. Amen? Even the prayer has to come from the comforter. Oh, so confusing. So, if the Lord wants me to pray for Brother Infan, I need to receive the burden from the comforter, and I don't know how to pray, and the comforter will teach me how to pray. Okay, I prayed, and the words, they came out of my heart. Okay, and the Lord received the word, and He go and heal Brother Infan. Is it how it works? He is a savior. He is a healer. So, what's happening? If Jesus Christ is the word of God, then who are you? Part of the word. If He came to heal the brokenhearted, then who are you? to do the works of him. If he came to deliver the people, then who are you? To do the works of him. Everything to do the works of him. What are the works for? Bind up the brokenhearted, build old wastes. Nehemiah built the wall. Solomon built the temple. No, Moses built the tabernacle. They will keep on building something. And Jesus said, I can destroy the temple and rise up in three days. And they said, kill this guy. This guy, he don't know how difficult my forefathers built the temple. He says he will build and rise up in 3 days. Mockery, why? Truth was hidden when the mind clouds the judgment. Raise the waste cities. Amen. The Lord called all of us city, new city, the holy Jerusalem, lighthouse set upon the city to shine the light brighter to the valley. Amen. Valley represents darkness, but God is also in the valley. Correct? God on the mountain is God in the valley. The truth is, you see God more in valley. Why? Light is brighter in valley. You would be mistaken, you know, in the daylight. Raise the waste cities. Where? To be on the higher ground. To be there where you are supposed to be. Repair the former waste cities. This is so beautiful. This sets the tone for the coming sermon. Who is Jehoiada? A very important priest who was able to withhold Athaliah. And he was able to repair the tabernacle in the right time, according to what the Lord said. If he didn't do it, something could have happened. So King Joash, Athaliah, we'll go there. But remember, four actions: build up, bind up, raise, repair. Amen? Repairer of the breaches. The Lord who lift you up from valley. The Lord who raised the city of desolation to be the city that can shine as a lighthouse. And the Lord who can bind up your wounds and can heal you. Lazarus was completely bound up. He was dead. And the Lord told him, remove all those wrapping. I don't like it. Give him new garment. He is alive in me now. And four provisions. Liberty, freedom of Christ. But you are still the bond servant, prisoner of Christ. Second thing, oil of joy, the comforter for all those who mourn in the right way. That is where we have to discern. There are two types of mourning. One, godly burden. Amen? You suffer because of his sufferings. Two, I could type some four or five bullet points, but the truth is there is nothing. Everything else other than godly burden is not called the cry that Father can hear. There are different types of renting clothes. I showed you. There are different types of crying. I showed you. There are different types of mourning, which we can see. But the Lord would only hear the cry of his children. He knows which needs attention. He knows who needs healing. Now with this, as we close, we will continue next week. But we are going to read one chapter as we close. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Such a beautiful chapter. If Solomon is a military officer, I would just go and salute him. Sir, you receive the wisdom of God. How deep, you know, the books written by the king, when he realizes, I'm just a servant, then the wisdom of God took over him, and all the words that we read from, you know, from David, from Solomon, from Apostle Paul, it's so encouraging. Amen? It speaks to the point. So, I believe we should read this and close. So I will read from chapter 5. Then Brother Clement, please read it for all of us. You read the whole chapter 7 from verse 1 to 29. But I will read from chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. Let's all stand as we pray and close. Let's read this scripture, because this scripture, 5 and 7, teach all of us how the Lord see the tabernacle, how the Lord see the congregation, how the Lord walk in the midst of his house. House of God is house of prayer. Amen? I will read from verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, differ not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. pay that which thou hast vowed. Not money, our living sacrifice, our life. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. He paid the price for all of us. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. For all that come from our tongue is it decides life or death. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Err from the faith, pierce themselves with many sorrows. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in province, marvel not at the matter. For he is, that is, higher than the highest regarded, and there be higher than they. Praise the Lord. Brother Taman, please read from chapter 7, verse 1 to 29.
A good name is better than precious ointment.
Amen.
And the day of death than the day of one's birth.
Yes.
Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
Amen.
For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit.
Amen.
Verse 9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the word of God. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider.
Consider.
Surely, God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him.
Nothing.
Verse 15. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is just man who perish in his righteousness.
Righteousness.
And there is a wicked man who prolong life in his life, prolong in his wickedness.
It. Amen.
Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself?
Yourself.
Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time?
Yes.
It is good that you grasp this. And also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all.
Amen.
Wisdom strengthened the wise more than 10 rulers of the city.
Yes.
For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin.
Amen.
Verse 21. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I say, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly.
Folly.
Even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death. The women whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her.
Amen.
But the sinner shall be trapped by her.
Amen.
Verse 27. Here is what I have found, says the preacher. Adding one thing to another, to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found.
Found.
But a woman among all these I have not found.
Not found.
Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Be not righteous over much. The scripture says, do not destroy yourself in righteousness. How irony it sounds. Righteousness is life. But the Bible says anything above, add one more way to it, it becomes not righteousness. Amen? So, be not righteous over much, which will make us to hurt ourselves, pierce ourselves, harm ourselves, spiritually, physically, mentally, psychologically. But we are called to do this work. Provision, action. Provision, action. Because He's a great provider and He's also a great doer. Amen? So, by God's grace, all these verses, I pray that you meditate. Can't read the whole chapter. We read the whole chapter. The Lord will guide us. The Lord wants His children to be happy, to be joyful, to be united. That's what a father will do. That's what a mother will do. He has no pleasure in seeing His children crying in agony. But whenever we go through pain and agony because of being a witness unto Him, don't worry. The oil of joy will comfort you. The comforter will comfort you. Amen? The Lord will guide us. So moving forward, I will be focusing on day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. So that all of us remember which servant of God appeared which day. This is for us to be prepared for something. You know, as the Lord put in my heart. So please look at the image. Don't think too much. Just listen to what I say. We are going to use it for quite some time. So that we go step by step. It is not an accurate estimation of time. That is not my desire. That would never be my desire. But the season. So, I hope you all can see the screen. I just want all of us to focus how beautiful the Lord we serve. Just follow me and don't try to understand too much of this because this is going to be there for us. 6 days God created, seventh day He rested. And we know six represents the imperfection of man. Adam was created on the sixth day. Amen. When Jesus performed the first miracle, 6 water pots of stones, He told them to fill water, then He transformed them into wine to serve in the feast. And He is also the ruler of the feast. Amen? So, let's start from a simple representation. All these numbers are just for us to make a bucket. Every 1,000 years, if we consider it as a simple water pot of stone, and the Lord filled it with His promises, with His words, with His children, and He dealt with them. Then He passed all the learnings to second generation. Then He passed all the learnings to third generation. Very similar to seven church ages. The messengers, they didn't reveal the same thing, but rather it was progressive. Amen? The seventh church messenger, he fulfilled what the Lord wanted to reveal. Now we are the bride perfecting by Him. So, in the first day, approximately, creation of man, woman, all the creation, Garden of Eden, Adam, Eve, what happened to them? Serpent, a trap for sin entered. Because of shame, the Lord covered them with coats. Death entered, they were thrown out. There was a covering and there was sacrifice in day 1. Abel was killed. But before Abel was killed, the Lord also had to do some bloodshed to make the coats of skins for Adam and Eve. So remember day 1 as God is the first one who clothed man with coats of skins. And Abel was killed, again the blood was shed. And he was killed by another man named Cain, who do not represent godly attributes, but serpentine nature. Day 2, God called Noah because He decided to wash the entire earth. Feet washing is small, but if you expand it, feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and all the earth will be filled with His glory. If the Lord says, I'm going to wash the earth, like how I wash your feet, He will send the flood and He will wipe all of it, correct? He washed the feet. He washed the whole earth. Heaven is His throne and earth is His what? Footstool. He washed the entire earth. Only Noah survived. Still, the serpentine nature survived. Because we are focusing on Aaron. Aaron is my central focus. But why Aaron was ordained as high priest, starting from day 1, day 2, there was a Tower of Babel, separated, scattered, God called Abraham, He gave a covenant, then we transit through to day 3, the Lord gave promise, and Jacob, we know the story of Moses,
and all. But Moses and Joshua are leading the people of Israel. Aaron the high priest was called to pass the priesthood garments to generations after generations. Eleazar's sons and goes on. And we have Samuel the prophet, Saul the king, very important. They changed the course of children of Israel's life by judges to kings. And David, Solomon, very important, father's inheritance to son, crown from father to son. And there came Elijah, Elisha, whom we are studying now. But after them, you have Azariah, Jehoiada. Azariah dealt with King Uzziah. Jehoiada dealt with King Josh and Athaliah. And we have all the prophets like Isaiah, Hezekiah. We already finished it last time. Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, hope you remember. Prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the Amos, Malachi. And Israel captivity is how the third day ends. Correct? The fourth day, our Lord and Savior, when He was born, growing, ministry started doing at the age of 30 around there. But He was still bound to the law of Jews. Correct? He told, when He cleaned the lepers, He told them, go and report to the priest. Why? Because death is not over, resurrection not over, the new journey, new season not begun yet. He obeyed the law. He submitted to the law. He was baptized by John the Baptist. Don't forget how obedient the Lord whom we serve. Therefore, temple was destructed. How Solomon built in 950-60 BC, how the kingdoms, Assyria, Persians, Babylonians, they all came one after another. They had people in captive. John the Baptist, like Aaron the high priest, I told you, the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, the son of Aaron, Eleazar. Remember, easy to remember, Elizabeth, daughter of Aaron. Luke 1, verse 5. So John the Baptist is the son of Elizabeth, who is the daughter of Aaron, from the priesthood. Jesus Christ, the last Adam, His ministry, feet washing in day 4. In second day, the Lord washed the entire earth, and Jesus washed the feet of people. Communion, feet washing, and Calvary and death. Day 4 ends. I want to separate the resurrection at day 5, because 5 is grace. If the Lord did not resurrect, then there is no day 5. Amen? No grace. Grace was given because of the power of resurrection. Resurrection, after that He spent time. Ascension, Pentecost, Peter, who was the rock the Lord built the church upon to represent God is in Peter. The chief cornerstone is in you, all of you. Peter and Apostle, because Peter was very important. He was leading the pack, whereas Apostle Paul got the commission of Gentiles. Amen? Apostle Paul and Gentiles, John, the Apostle, beloved, who received the revelation of the book of Revelation, the mightiest book of Revelation, the only revelation that we are still studying. After that, messengers were sent by the Holy One, 7 spirits, one by one. But day 5 only covered up to 4 church ages, and 4th one was not over. It continued to day 6. In 6th day, we are still in church age 4, 5, 6, 7 still present. And Jesus will come to take the bride up in the air. Then we have 7 days of tribulation. The Lord will come down after the marriage of the Lamb to judge the nations and the day of the Lord. Now, day of the Lord, acceptable year of the Lord. Let it be the meditation for all of us this week. Day of the Lord, acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Then the 7th day is our Lord's millennium rule, reign. We don't know how it is going to be, when it's going to be, but blessed be the name of the Lord. We know the season and we are close. Amen. All these numbers in the years, do not try to confuse. It's just a number that I put as a Lord, you know, I was trying to learn. So, the Lord will lead us, all these 6 garments, 6 branches, 6 days. Now we bring it back. 6,000 pieces of gold, 6,000 acceptable years of the Lord decided to keep the humanity, to show grace and mercy. And 1,000 year of millennium, that marks 7th day. A new beginning, that marks 8th day. Amen? There's a lot for us to learn, how the Lord clothed all of us throughout time. Aaron, God, Jesus, Apostle Paul, and all the messengers, they are clothing us in spirit for the bride to be prepared. The Lord will guide us. Amen. We will continue next week. Let's all pray. And let's all remember that joy of the Lord is our strength, and the comforter is called the oil of the joy. Let's be happy, let's be united, and let's look at one another that Jesus Christ is in every one of us. Whatever the small green tree or plant that is covering our body, it's a parasite. Do not give up on hope. The Lord will remove it. The Lord will uncover it. Amen? The Lord will guide us. Let's all pray. Let's all pray with joy. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for touching all of us, blessing all of us, washing all of us. Thank you, Lord, for thy spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for clothing us in your joy. Lord, we pray, Lord, may you fill the cup, all of us, O Lord, with the oil of joy, that we are delivered from the brokenhearted. We are released from the captivity, and we will build up, and we will bind up, and we will raise, and we will repair as the Lord leads us to do the work of God. And Lord, may you help us, Lord, great Jehovah, our Lord God. Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi. Walk in the midst of us, our Lord Almighty. Touch us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your love. We give all glory and honor unto thee. We bless your name. Heal us, Lord, and help us to serve thee with all our heart. In joy, in unity of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.